Christianity is more a religion of relationship than it is of creed. Now, I don't want to set them up in some kind of false dichotomy, because there's a unity as far as like what we profess and the relationship that we are called. The good news is this relationship that we're invited to, this holy communion. A communion literally means a shared work or a shared meal, shared task, and it's holy. And so the climax of that happens for us every week when we come and receive holy communion, right, with our Eucharistic Lord. So it's a sharing in the divine life of God as adopted sons and daughters. So I'm not setting up a separation between what we profess and the relationship we enter into, but we have to remember that the creed is about the relationship. That's what it's ultimately about. So it's very personal. Now, in the gospel, Jesus is addressing the apostles in a way that kind of brings to the fore what they are about and what is most important to them. So he first of all begins kind of, you might say, in the third person, a third person question. Who do they say? Who do the crowd say that I am? What are they saying out there about me? Well, that Elijah, you're John the Baptist, a prophet has arisen. So they are, repeating what they have heard and what they have learned. And so there's a part of the Christian life that has a third person component, in the sense of we're learning and knowing about Christ. But it doesn't stop there for us, because it immediately moves, as we trace the line in Jesus's approach today, it moves from the second person to a third person to the second person, and then he goes, because Jesus says what? Well, who do you say that I am? So second person, right? Wow, this is when it gets a little bit difficult, risky for the apostles and anyone who seeks to be a disciple. Who do you say? Well, it's easy to be able to repeat the information you learn in religion class or catechism or what you read and, talking about faith, but who do you say that I am? So Jesus is making it more personal for them. Now, it doesn't move to the first person until what? Until they make the response. Because then Peter says, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. He's saying, who are you? For me, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Son of God. And so when it comes to this personal first-person profession, which is not just for the apostles, but for each one of us, we have to remember that it is encountering the deepest part of who we are. Who is Christ for us? Is he truly number one in our life? Is he truly our Savior? Is he truly our best friend? Does it look like that in the way that we live? A young man might be dating a woman, and maybe he's had dates in the past, he hasn't worked out, and then finally he dates someone, and he comes home and talks to his parents, and he says, she's the one, right? I don't know if any of you did that when you found your one, okay? Evidently, I did not. She's the one. That's the kind of acknowledgement we're talking about when Peter says, you are the Christ. He's saying, you're the one, finally, that we've been looking for, that we are seeking out. That's what Christ has to be. That's how deep it has to go for us. And here's the thing. When it comes to evangelization, to the furthering of the kingdom of God, the new evangelization, the only way that you're ever going to be successful in spreading the faith and communicating what the good news, the kingdom, is if it goes from the third person to the first person. It has to be that personal for you. If it just is about information, who do people say that I am, and you can just spout out things about faith, that's not going to convince anybody. That's not going to draw anybody in to opening their hearts to the kingdom. It has to go to the first person, that you've experienced, that you know Christ to the degree that he's the one for you. Because when you do that, when it hits that part of you, then you are speaking about Christ with conviction and passion. And that's what, you might say, sells the kingdom. I want to end with a short passage that captures this first-person response like that Peter made today, and that we are called, each one of us is invited to in our own hearts. Because here's the thing. This deep response that you are the one, Lord, is not just made for a few. That's the response that we are all made for. Because our hearts are restless, as we've heard St. Augustine say many times, until they rest in God. This poetic reflection comes from Father Pedro Arupa. He was a general superior, or father general, of the Jesuits during the 1980s. So beautifully captured. He says, nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. Who do you say that I am?